Blog Talk Radio.
Yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Marvelous Monday, August 27th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and, of course, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is Marvelous Monday, and speaking of marvelous, it is now time to bring on my lovely co-host, the one and only Pat Foreman, Compost Queen herself. Hey, Pat.
You have fun with that, don't you?
Gotta love it. How was your weekend?
Yeah. Oh, I had a great weekend. I slept a lot. I bush hogged my front yard. I got a lot done on the computer. I partied. I mean, it was one of that. There was a street fair in Lexington, Virginia, where they were promoting chickens, so they were selling chicken bumper stickers, and so it was one of those. I felt like I had a week vacation just after the weekend. That's one of the nice things about Rockbridge County. The students are all coming back now to Washington and Lee and Virginia Military Institute, and you know, things are just kind of hopping with the fall. Even feels like fall. Woke up this morning and had that. I had a little jacket on when I went with my pre-dawn little walk jog. It's like, ooh, it's getting colder. How was your weekend, Whisper?
It was fine. Jen's parents came down for the week. They finally headed back home on Sunday, yesterday after church. We had lunch and then they headed back home. So it was quite the challenge. It's many people have to go through it. Jen's mom is really just kind of losing her mind. She won't go through all the testing. She just refuses to for all
How
time.
How old is she?
She's only, let's see, I think she's only 73. No, she's
she's a
75.
Baby.
Yeah, so she's not that old, but 75. But, yeah, it's just she's very forgetful. I mean, we're talking five. You have to tell her something five times in a 15-minute time period. So it's sad to see that happening. And then her dad's not that much better. So having to deal with them all week, you know, it's nice to have them down here, but it just adds one more thing to your responsibility list. So
it's incredibly tedious. I know.
So it's go ahead.
Well, there are neuronutrients that one can take to help mitigate that a little bit. I mean, I take my little brain nutrition every day, and I swear it helps. So it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but it's a constant diligence.
Yeah, it really is. But other than that, it was a pretty good weekend, and so we kind of stayed busy around here visiting and things like that. We went to eat a couple of times so they could get out of the house, and so it was a pretty good weekend, and looking forward to this week as well. I've been in my mind frame. It'll be maybe a busy week. You know, we've got I've got to get the garden ready. Last year's fall garden, we got in late. We were blessed with really good weather all the way through the end of the year, so it wasn't that big of an issue that we got it in about a month late. But I'm really shooting to have it in by the 15th or close to that date anyway, about 2 weeks earlier. So I've got to get that going. Like I said, we're gonna hopefully this week we can get that thing bush hogged at least twice, and then get everything nice and fine, and then I can get in there with the harrow and harrow it down in there and kind of recycle and get that compost work down into the soil, and then plant. And we got to schedule kind of a class for gin school because I think we're going to be having them kind of pick out some of the things that they want us to plant and try to do some of that live stream with us working in the garden with their classroom. So we're looking forward to that. So we've got that on the plate this week. I still haven't heard my contact at Tractor Supply. Is very busy. Apparently, his boss or one of his bosses either quit or got fired or they terminated the position or left or something. And they just put everything that was on his plate on his plate. So now he's got double duty, and I'm sure not double pay like most companies. So when that happens, so he's traveling a lot. So I'm still waiting to hear back. I followed up with an email this morning. I was concerned about the storm Isaac that was coming through, because the earlier predictions had it coming straight through Georgia, and I was thinking about batting down the hatches here and what I needed to do. And it was going to be coming in Wednesday and Thursday, and then Tennessee on Thursday, Friday. And I thought, well, that's our path that we're traveling. I'm not going to get in that mess. I'll just reschedule the meeting. It's not worth our lives with the family to deal with that. So, but it looks like now it's heading off
off west somewhere, so we're not anywhere really near us, so that's not an issue. So I emailed them trying to confirm that we're on for our meeting this Friday. So again, folks, that's why I told you last week it's kind of up in the air. If we do not go to Nashville on Thursday, then we will have a show this Thursday and Friday. If we hit the road Thursday, there will be no show on Thursday and Friday, but we'll return next Monday. So I'll just kind of keep you posted as soon as I hear 100% for sure from my contacts there at Tractor Supply. And if so, we'll head up that way and hopefully come back home with some we'll have good news either way, because I got a company just waiting in the shadows to step up for a premier sponsorship. If Tractor Supply it deems that they're happy with what we're doing, making videos for them and things like that, but we'll just see what happens. I'll go up and do my dog and pony show, and we'll see what happens. So busy week. Today we've got Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, on, and today's topic is going to be gut health and good probiotics. I put that in there.
Yay.
Good probiotics, because yogurt is just not going to hack it. We'll hear what he says about yogurt. You know, occasionally you're mixing it in with some mash. If you got a sick chicken, something like that to help them eat, it's one thing. But to give store-bought yogurt because you think you're helping them with the probiotics, you're a nut. There's not enough.
Well, it's kind of a similar thing with people. A lot of those probiotics get pre-digested, and they never really make it to the intestines where they do their work. So, but some do. Some do.
And as we know that the chickens don't have the enzymes in their gut to digest dairy, and yogurt's a part of dairy. So, again, if you think you're giving yogurt to be beneficial, you know, you can get that out of your mind right now, because here's the problem. People go and buy yogurt and look at the ingredients, okay? Number one, there's not enough, and doctor will probably elaborate on this, there's not a lot of the good stuff. There's not enough of the good stuff in people yogurt to do any good, number one, but there's plenty of bad stuff. High fructose corn syrup, there's artificial colors, artificial flavor, artificial this, artificial that, all these artificial sweeteners, you know, fake fruit, and then who knows what, you know, this non-organic dairy with cow pus in it. So it's just one of those things. Not, you know, don't think, oh, I'm giving them yogurt and blueberries and it's all good for them, because it's not. So it's not necessarily bad for them, but that's if you're so concerned about probiotics and wanting to give it, go and get some true probiotics that you add in the water for your chickens, and forget this yogurt crap. You're wasting your time and your money, and it's not good for the chickens when they're eating high fructose corn syrup and sugars and fake fruit and all that other crap. So you heard it here first on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And that's the way it is.
So we've got that going on today. And then tomorrow, Christine Heinrich is going to be joining us with the Society for Preservation of Poultry Antiquities. And it looks like tomorrow, Valerie Hess Miller is going to be joining us, and they're going to be talking about Poultry Show Central, which is a new site, and she's got a lot of information there about show dates, contact.
Wonderful. Uh-huh.
What people need to know about the show, and she welcomes, of course, more show listings, and she's developing a breeder's directory as well. So someone's developing kind of a website all about the show fanciers. So that's good to know as well. So she'll be joining us tomorrow. This coming up Wednesday, continuing with our small business programming, of course, on the second and fourth Wednesdays. We've been having featuring small businesses in the chicken community, and I think we'll have one again this Wednesday as well. And then let's see, this coming Thursday is a fifth Thursday, it looks like, and a fifth Friday. So normally on the fifth days of the month, fifth weekdays, we don't schedule guests. But, of course, this Thursday and Friday we may be on the road anyway, so it's not an issue. But regardless, we'll be here today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and I'll let everybody know about Thursday and Friday. So we've got a great show lineup for everybody today. We had an awesome show on Friday, Pat. We gave away over 10 prizes, and, of course, it was the Battle of the sexes. So the female callers won. We had more female callers than male callers, but it was pretty close there till about halfway, and then the ladies pulled on through with the lead. But of course, when you have 75% of your fans and listeners are women and 25% are men, then the fact that we were holding our own there until about halfway through was very impressive. But then next thing you know, the women pulled out and they won the Battle of the Sexes. But gave 10 or 11 prizes, had a great time. We did a food trivia, actually, on Friday. That was one of the questions after about 8 or 9 questions. one of the questions was, you know, what's today's theme for our trivia? And of course, it was food, and we had all kinds of neat and fun trivia. So that was fun on Friday. Gave away a lot of prizes. And let me just tell everybody, in case we have new listeners, we're giving away yet another chicken coop. We give away more coops than anybody on the planet, and that goes for chicken prizes as well. But we're giving away another chicken coop from, of course, our good friends, MyPetChicken.com, Derek and Tracy. And the winner will actually get to choose from a selection of three coops. If you go to MyPetChicken.com, you can see on their wooden chicken coops page, there's three that you can choose from if you win. There's the salt box, there's the four square, and there's the bungalow. And those three coops, you can choose whichever one might meet your needs the best. And that'll be shipped right to your front door from MyPetChicken.com. And to enter this awesome contest, which we're kind of wrapping it up. In fact, I believe next Thursday the 6th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time will be the last day to enter. And then I believe on the 7th, we'll be calling the winner live on the radio show on the 7th. So there's about close to 2 weeks left to enter. And I tell folks how to enter. It's very, very simple. Whether you listen live or listen to the archive or follow us on Facebook, fan on Twitter, whatever the case may be, you can enter and you can win, because you do not have to be listening live to win this coupe. We wanted everybody to be eligible, but you do have to enter. And all you have to do to enter, very simple, send us an email contest@chickenwhisperer.net. Okay, that's contest@chickenwhisperer.net. And when you type that in the subject line, put chicken coop contest in the subject line of the email, chicken coop contest. And then within the email, if you'll put your name, shipping address, and phone number. Name, shipping address, and phone number in the email itself. Again, chicken coop contest in the subject line. And email that to me. That'll enter you into this contest. Last I checked, I think we were well over 2,000 entries, probably approaching 3,000 now. And hey, if you can't win if you don't enter. Can't win if you don't enter. So that's how you enter. And if you enter twice, you'll be disqualified. So just be real careful with that and get us that information, and we'll have another winner of an awesome chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com. And we'll see what we're going to do this next month. Since this contest is rolling into September, we'll probably wait and then have a full contest for another chicken coop in October is what I'm thinking we'll probably do. So, yep, another chicken coop we'll be giving away in October. How cool is that? Here on Back Poultry with and Whisperer. So very cool. Looking forward to that. Of course, like you said, Pat, it's getting a little cooler. Over the weekend, article about a garage fire. Now here we go. And I told you last week that as temperatures start getting cooler, we'll start fielding questions, email, Facebook page about heaters and coops and things like that. And
Whisper, you're cutting in and out a little bit. I think it's pretty staccato.
Yeah. Test.
Yeah, that's you're cutting in and out pretty badly there.
Okay. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio. Give me just a second, and I will be back in a moment. We'll try something
else. Okay. If you leave me on, Whisper, what I'd like to do, I've got quite a few workshops coming up. Maybe go over them just so that folks know they can come and hear about chickens. I guess he left me on. I'm not on the computer yet, but if folks can hear me, we've got a lot of coming up. In Santa Rosa, California, is the National Heirloom Exposition. They'll have over 70 speakers and 250 vendors. It's considered one of the World's Fair of the heirloom industry. I'll be giving two talks, one on Thursday, September the 11th, on gardening with and for chickens, and one the next day on Wednesday about this chicken whispering, discover the chicken you never knew. Then on to Saturday is the Monticello Heritage Harvest Festival in Charlottesville, right there at Monticello. I'll be doing a book signing on Saturday, as well as a workshop at 3:15 to 4:15 on chicken whispering. And then the next day, another book signing on Sunday. And then the last thing in September so far is the 22nd to the 23rd, Mother Earth News at Seven Springs, Pennsylvania. And I'll be at the Chicken Whispering Workshop there on at 1:30 and 11:30, and then Gardening with and for Family Flocks, 1:30 to 3:30 on November the 9th. November the 9th with the American Livestock Breeders Conservancy. Whisper, are you back?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thanks. Just wanted to put in a little plug with all these workshops coming up. I am so excited. I just love doing these things. It's besides spreading the poultry love. I just meet so many people. And so, you know what's interesting, Whisper, after all this time, there are even more chicken wannabe keepers, I think, than ever before. And to get them to take the plunge and order those first few chicks is just so rewarding. These workshops, I think, really, really help do that.
Absolutely. I can't remember. I'm thinking about when the first workshop I did way back when and how it was just, we packed the place and it was, even the place was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We don't have this many people for any of our horse workshops or any of our others. This is amazing. So it just, it hit, it's awesome. And we love it as well. And I'm still planning on, of course, you and I both will be speaking at the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy Annual Conference coming up here in November.
We'll have so much fun.
It's going to be fun too. Yep, and I know that Richard Frudenberger won't be able to be there, but I know that I'm hoping that Steve Pope will be there. Definitely looking forward to meet him. He's been a guest on the show many a times, and so I'm looking forward to seeing him and so many other folks in the who's who in the poultry industry. So definitely looking forward to that. But we're going to be scheduling, I think, a week long trip. I think we'll kick it off there at the ALBC conference, and then we're going to pick a route that takes about a week to bring us back home to the homestead and be doing some workshops and stopping and meeting folks, hopefully maybe some sponsors as well. So we're definitely looking forward to that. And I'll let everybody know when and where that'll be as well. And we hope to have the Jumper Mobile and around that time, so that'll be really fun. And we hope to do a little bit of filming, and we hope to do stop by just like we did on our last trip and a little book tour. And stop by and meet them and look at their coops. And I know that Becca Boo was very excited to come and meet me at an event, and it didn't work out. So we said, hey, where's your house? We'll stop by. So we just stopped by on one of our trips from point A to point B, and it was great to be in her backyard and take a look at her coop and her lovely chickens. And they fixed a supper. It was awesome, man. We had a really, really good time. And so we hope to do some of that as well when we go here in November up to ALBC. So we're definitely looking forward to that. All right, let me see what we've got here and see if this might be Peter on the line. Hey, Peter, is that you?
That is I.
All righty.
Hey,
very
Peter.
Good.
Hey, Pat, how are you doing?
This must be a different number for you. I didn't recognize it.
Yeah, because for some reason on the line that I normally use to call you, I couldn't get through. It keeps going to the busy signal. I sent you an email figuring it was, I don't know if it was on the New York end of this end. Must be down here. Must be a problem somewhere.
Peter, you're really cutting in and out pretty badly.
Really? I can hear him pretty good.
How about the chat room? How are you guys doing? Can you hear Peter okay? Maybe it's just my line.
I don't know. I didn't hear him break up at all. So we'll just.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, he sounds. You must be on a cell phone.
Yeah, I'm on a cell phone.
Backyard so Poultry said he doesn't sound quite right.
Nobody's quite. But yeah, he sounds good. It's just a different sound than he normally is. So he's a little bit louder actually. But I think it's just the issue with the cell phone. So funny sound. But at least we can understand you. That's for sure. Do you want to try again? Let me go and I'll refresh the the switchboard, and then Peter, if you'll try to call back in like you always do one more time, let me refresh this, and then if it doesn't work, just call back on your.
I'll do that. I'll call you back on the regular phone first, and if that doesn't work, I'll call you on the cell.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Okay, bye.
Okay. And while he's doing that, we'll just take a real quick break.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brinsea.com. Brinsea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brinsea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brinsea, technology you can trust. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
How would you like a punch in the beak?
All right, thank you very much for staying with us, and it doesn't look like that seemed to work. So, Pat, you're back live, and Peter, you're back live well, and I can hear you and understand you. So it's just, like I said, just a different sound quality because you're on the cell phone, but nonetheless, I can hear you, and we're ready to get started.
All right. We've talked numerous times on the show about different you know, antibiotics and different bacteria and so on, and we did talk a reasonable amount of time here in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks about gut-friendly bacteria, probiotics, and so on. So I thought today I would go back and revisit some of that. And what brought this all about is that we had spoken, I can't remember, 6 months ago, maybe more, about a particular bacteria that was showing up in poultry. Called Klebsiella. It's spelled K-L-E-B-S-I-E-L-L-A. It's common all around. It's in the environment, so it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. For the most part, it is relatively benign, but at times it does show its ugly head and shows its ugly side. And the real problem with it is that it's becoming quite certain strains of it, at least for the moment, are becoming quite antibiotic resistant.
Mm-hmm.
And so what brought me to thinking about all of this is I have been looking into, in a large way, looking at products and not necessarily always a product, but methods ways to get away from using antibiotics. We've talked about this before. The entire world will eventually get away from using antibiotics in animals, chickens first, and I think that after that, cattle and everything else will probably fall into the same category. But chickens, for the most part, almost now, on a worldwide basis, they're scaling back and getting away from. I know in the European Union, you can't use any antibiotics on chickens for growth promotion, and in lots of cases, that's where antibiotics have been used in the past, used at low doses to control particular problems, whether they be gut related or whether they be respiratory related. So I was in my digging around, as I usually do, in putting together a protocol for whatever problems I see out there. I mentioned a show or two ago that I was moving in a direction here as well, that while we will continue to have whatever antibiotics are available, we're also going to have a line of products and or methods and so on that people can use to mitigate some of the problems with intestinal issues and in some cases respiratory issues. The respiratory issues are harder to get natural products to work and do things because sometimes the amount you of the natural product that you have to give in order to become effective ends up killing the patient. And we have a way about us in this country of thinking that if it's natural, it's okay, and that isn't the case in quite a few cases, actually. You know, we've all been down the arsenic route. You certainly wouldn't go out and get a bag of arsenic and start consuming it in raw form on its own. But, you know, you could look at it at the end of the day and say, well, it was natural. You could do the same thing for... well, I have to throw that out there because,
yeah,
you know, I get that all the time about, well, it's natural. Yeah, well, you know, so is air. When it's contaminated, it's not so good either, but it's natural, you know. And you know, the same thing goes with hemlock. I mean, if you're out there, you know, chewing on hemlock all day long, you know, I think you'll have a huge, you'll have a huge problem. And you know, you could turn around there and say, well, it's natural too. So some of the issues that you look at, you have to really, really look and as most people know me, Pat and Andy and everybody that listens to the show on any kind of regular basis knows that I like to find the science behind something. I like to find somebody that's done it successfully, and so on, and knows what they were treating, rather than saying you used XYZ product or item,
mm-hmm,
and the birds automatically got better, and therefore you cured XYZ when we haven't got a clue in the first place what XYZ really was. You know, so it's something that I've been really, really looking into. But what brought all of this back to me was that, unbeknownst to most people, because it doesn't get out into the news very much, but in the circles I flip-flop around in and things that I dig into, there's a story around, it's a true story, not false by any stretch, but right here around the National Institutes of Health Hospital here, I believe it was in Bethesda, and unbeknownst to most people, they had a outbreak last June of Klebsiella in humans, and it can be common in humans, especially older people, immune impaired, people who are under attack don't have to have a bad immune system per se, but have, when I say under attack, their systems are under attack from many different abnormalities that they may have. At any rate, they brought a woman in from the New York area who was going to be in one of their studies, and unbeknownst to them, they knew coming in that she had problems with other antibiotic-resistant issues, and so they isolated her anyway, and what happened was that this spread uncontrollably in the hospital. We couldn't stop it. Big, big issue. Most people don't realize that about a million people per year have what they called hospital-acquired infections, HAIs, and I think this is an interesting contrast. We talked last week about West Nile virus, and I went back and I pulled up some papers that I had written back in 2003, and I shared with you the fact that we had at least four times higher the number of cases in 2003 than we're all flapping our yaps about here about a week or so ago. Not to make light of it or say that it isn't a problem. Yes, it's a problem. But I think it's a far greater problem when a million people within the country can go to a hospital hoping to get well and get sick while they're there. The interesting part about it is right around 100,000 of those million people die. from whatever they've contracted in the hospital. And so this woman had Klebsiella that was bacteria antibiotic resistant, and it was resistant to almost all known forms of antibiotics that may or may even work in combination. And before they were able to figure it out, they weren't sure it came from her to start with. This particular bacteria even jumped across the disinfection barrier. It was spread from one patient to another. I don't know how many times it happened as far as this particular item was concerned. But anyway, it spread from one patient to another through a respirator that was cleaned properly and properly disinfected. They finally, and we did talk about some of this type of stuff, so just to give you an idea, we talked about the chicken genome, and we talked about breaking things down genetically and looking at them so that we could look at things in a more broader sense. They took the bacteria from the woman, and they isolated it, and they sent it off to a lab that they have where they could break it down genetically. And they indeed found that this was coming from a single source, because they didn't know where it was coming from. In all, 17 people in the hospital came down with this antibiotic-resistant strain of Klebsiella. And in the course of that, 11 people died. The issue here is then that they've kind of covered it up. They were very bold about it when they were confronted about it. The only way that this came about, that anybody even knew anything about it, including myself, which was, this made me seek it out even further, was a paper written on how they finally figured out genetically where it came from. So that was more important than telling anybody else that's coming into the hospital, I guess, that maybe you shouldn't come here for a while. This stuff had the ability to live in drains. They went so far in some instances to remove sinks. Normal disinfection didn't take care of it. They had to go to, and I don't know what the concentration was, but they didn't say. But they actually had to go to a combination of things, as well as fogging peroxide. And I've never even heard of that being done. But so the in a roundabout way, we're coming back to the gate here with this thing. So it brought back to my thinking here again. This particular bacteria, opportunistic. Takes advantage of every opportunity that it gets to set up shop. So we talked about probiotics and the brain-gut connection last week, week before. But there is a huge connection between the gut flora that you have and even that your chickens have, and how well the biddies will do after being either reared by their parents or being reared in a brooder. This is why, in my opinion, why we see so much mortality in brooders, besides the fact of coccidiosis being there. If you look at, for the most part, the chicken is born with a sterile gut. So that means that it's ripe for colonization with any bacteria, basically, that it's in its environment, including Klebsiella. And Klebsiella has been found in chickens before. It's a normal inhabitant of a lot of the guts of chickens, both on the commercial side and in the backyard environment as well. The problem with Klebsiella is that it's an encapsulated bacteria, which means it has a capsule around it, and that makes it harder for some of the antibiotics that are not capable of penetrating that capsule to get in and do their job. But anyway, we did talk about the ability of the proper gut flora to enhance the overall effect of the immune system of the bird. We talked about the immune system, 70% or so of the bird's immune system cells lie in the intestine in the first place. So it just makes good sense. And I wanted to come back and just go back and say this because in digging all around and everything else, I found a reference to an interesting study that maybe shows us much more clearly, you know, why we should move away from antibiotics. There's a study that's been done in humans that shows that children, infants, from day one through 6 months of age, who have been treated with antibiotics, have a 22% greater chance of obesity by the time they're 3 years of age. I thought that was a very interesting fact to put out there, because now we can come back and we can start looking at what I've been talking about all along. If you keep your gut healthy, a lot of these problems that you're going to have are going to go away. They're not going to get started. If you use a probiotic on your ditties from day one, you're going to repopulate or populate that sterile gut with the proper bacteria that are needed for digestion. Now, that's where the problem comes in. When the we've talked about this somewhat before, when the bad bacteria show up, the E. coli's, the Salmonella's, the Klebsiella's, the Clostridium's, the Streptococci, all of these, when they show up, they are much quicker to colonize the intestine. They grow faster. If you remember me saying, we talked about the fact that there was irradiation of meat, irradiation of chicken. This is supposed to be the big deal to clean up your chicken before you get it and take it home and consume it in your home. And now that it's all sterile and bacteria-free, you're going to bring it home and everything's going to be hunky-dory. It doesn't work that way. What they found out was that, yeah, you had a nice, clean, sterile piece of meat, and you'll never get sick from it until you open the package. And you leave it on the counter for a little while, and you do other things around the kitchen and everything else, and then you go to cook it, and it's all loaded with bacteria because they outgrow anything else. So the bad bacteria that you had on your hands or was on your cutting board or wherever it was colonizes extremely quickly. Some of these things in a matter of hours will be all over the place. And the reason for that is there isn't a good bacteria on that meat or chicken, okay, to slow down or stop the proliferation of the bad guys. Okay, so the bad guys end up outnumbering the good guys and everybody gets sick. So the same thing happens in the intestine. When we start looking at some of these bacteria, we talk about them, and we talked about this a little bit last time. We talked about the fact that Lactobacillus acidophilus produces some enzymes, mainly lactic acid, as a pH enhancer for the gut, makes it tough for the bad guys to live there. But also, different gut-friendly bacteria produce different types of enzymes. These enzymes are key to proper digestion, proper development of an embryo, or not embryo, but a chick, or even a human being. So we did talk about that there is, however slight it may be, a connection being made between poor gut health and schizophrenia. And if you go back and you look at it, and it makes sense, if a person, it would be interesting to see if people who have those kinds of issues were treated with a lot of antibiotics as a child, and it might, you know, might be a stretch, but you could extrapolate that out a little bit with all of the knowledge that we have. We know that the antibiotics can cause the obesity. We know that the obesity comes from the fact that the proper gut bacteria has been eliminated to a great degree, so that the enzymes that are needed for proper digestion, you may be eating a decent diet, but you're not getting the proper digestion that you need to get all of the needed nutrients out of the food that you're eating. When these good bacteria are taken out of the picture, and then that allows the bad guys to get a hold of you and go on and cause more problems. We look at Lactobacillus acidophilus as the main ingredient in any probiotic, okay, and the produces the digestive enzyme amylase. And its big deal is that it digests your carbohydrates. So if you're not going to have enough of this amylase in your intestine, you're going to have trouble with carbohydrates. If you're looking at other species of the gut-friendly bacteria that produce other enzymes, and they do, you're going to have trouble digesting fiber. You're going to have digestive problems with fat. You're going to have digestive problems with carbohydrates. I mean, geez, I just named three of the major things that you need to survive, for crying out loud. And so the introduction of probiotics are going to be key to getting away from using antibiotics. Doesn't mean antibiotics will be totally 100% out of the picture. I think everything has a need. I think that the evidence is showing dramatically that getting away from antibiotics is the way to go on one hand, but we're also seeing in a lot of these countries where the antibiotics have been pulled away and no probiotic has been added back to help these animals out, whether they be cattle or whether they be chickens at this point. We're running into some, problems with the intestinal tract because of the fact that these other bacteria outgrow the good guys. If you look at Lactobacillus, Acidophilus can take as many as 4 or 5 days to populate the intestine properly. In that 4 or 5 days, the first guys to show up on the site are the bad guys. So in that period of time, you've got these bad guys that are going to be trying to set up their shop, and you need to populate the intestine, because don't forget, the intestine is sterile. So whatever shows up there, whatever that first food that bird takes, that's what I've talked about. Prebiotics are kind of with this grow gel and things like that, our Chick Saver and what have you. These kinds of things given to get that gut going, I think, are the smartest way to go, rather than always turning around and looking at antibiotics. If you get that gut pH slightly acidic, these guys can grow very nicely, and the bad guys are going to have trouble. It's really quite that simple. The hardest part out of the bird's intestine to populate with any kind of bacteria, and if you're familiar with the intestine, we went over the bird's intestines as to what each part does, and we did a multi-part series on that earlier this year. But when you look at the gut of the bird, the hardest part to get populated with the good bacteria are the cecal tonsils. Those are the two blind pouches we've talked about on numerous occasions. And one of the reasons is they only empty out about twice a day. So getting anything in is only going to happen about twice a day. So they can take 2 months to be completely populated thoroughly with the type of good bacteria. So it's inherent and very productive to get this kind of a gut flora going early on in a bird's life, because I feel, and I've seen some of the evidence and some of the things that I've been researching and trying to make some decisions as to what kinds of things do I want to be out here telling people that they work. We always look at things, there's this, and on one hand I think it's partially right, this thing that everything's about money, to a great degree it is. When it comes to the pharmaceutical industry, people always say, well, they don't want to use this herbal product because they want to push their pills. Well, on one hand, yes, that's true, but the herbal stuff that you're pushing on the other end doesn't have any science behind it that is considered in the scientific community, not by the drug company itself, but by the Food and Drug Administration and or other scientists who are involved in these kinds of things. So those things always get poo-pooed because they don't have it. So, well, there was this study done, but the study's never a double-blind study. It never against a particular known organism or a known entity as a whole. It's that syndrome of I took it for so and so and I felt better and it worked. Maybe, maybe not, because a lot of stuff we do the placebo study because we already know that when a person puts their mind in it, it clouds the issue. So by taking the person out, people in the test never know if they're getting the product itself or they're getting placebo. And the reason behind that is if they knew what they were getting, the results would be definitely skewed. So, a person say, well, if I was getting placebo, this stuff didn't do anything for me. Well, maybe it didn't. Maybe this stuff, on the other hand, for the guy who was taking the real stuff, maybe it wouldn't have done anything for him either if he didn't, as long as he doesn't know. So you're going to get more of a balanced answer from either party, placebo or product, by them not knowing. That's why we do that. And those kinds of studies on most, to my knowledge, herbal things have never been done, and they don't pass muster at all. But doesn't mean they don't have any value. I'm not saying that. Doesn't mean that they can't work. I'm just saying that when you go out there and you start hawking a lot of these things, they just don't at the end of the day. I read a lot of stuff. I get two different studies every morning. I get emails from Harvard University Medical School, and I get some from Johns Hopkins. And reading through all of the stuff that they put out, so much you can't read it all in a day most of the time. So I have to save it for the evening when I've got more time to play around with it. But reading one now about all the kinds of different supplements, what works, what doesn't work, the science behind them and everything else, and that's what I want to hear. I want to know what works. I'm not interested in something that doesn't work, or if Harry says it works, and if it works for Harry, good, but it might not work for Mary. And in many cases, that is the case. And to give you an example, I might have talked about this before. If I did, I don't mean to be redundant about it, but one of the companies I've dealt with, I came across a product. I don't know if you were online when we were talking about it, but I'll go through it again. Maybe you've heard of it. Have you ever heard of a product called Fruit Flow? FRUITFLOW?
Not familiar.
No, I haven't.
You haven't heard of it?
No.
Nope. Okay.
All right, Fruit Flow comes out of Europe. It is a all-natural product. It's made from tomatoes. Okay? It is European Food Safety Administration approved, first product of its kind. It is a patented product. It's FDA approved here in the United States. And what it does, it is a blood platelet thinner. It keeps your blood from sticking together. People like me who take a blood thinner every day, I take an aspirin and Effient. You could theoretically replace your aspirin, if you're aspirin intolerant, with this particular product. And let's say, for argument's sake, you knew in advance that you were going to have a tooth pulled or an operation or something like that. You could start taking this product in place of other things. And the good part about it is it doesn't last in your system more than about 18 hours. So
wow.
Therefore, you could stop taking it 24 hours before surgery, and you wouldn't have a problem with excessive bleeding.
Peter, would you spell the name of the product that you're talking about for Fruit Flow?
Sure. Yep, just like it sounds, Fruit Flow.
Food or fruit? I'm
fruit.
Having a... Oh,
fruit, like an apple
fruit
hanging
flow.
On a tree. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
And I guess they get that because the tomato is considered fruit and not a vegetable. I guess that's where they get that from. But anyway, most of us have cut open a tomato, and when you see the seeds of the tomatoes, especially a fresh one, it has that little bit of gelatinous-like material around the seed. This substance comes from that gelatinous material, and this company out of Europe has a patent on how to extract that. How they come up with it, I don't know. It's not lycopene-based at all. It has no lycopene in it whatsoever. That's not the issue with this. And I was just taken back by it. And this goes back, and it shows you there are many studies been done to show that this stuff worked. It's passed FDA muster. And there's my point. Here's an all-natural product that actually works, that is going to be beneficial, and it's not expensive. And how nice is that? This cost average person to take this product about 30 cents a day.
Hmm. Yeah, I just saw some for sale on the internet, Peter, and it's only $10 for
90 capsules.
Yeah, 1,000 milligrams.
at the end of the day, you know, it's my point in the thing. I'm not hawking the product. I'm not taking it myself. I'm happy with the things that I'm taking. But my point is that here we go with a product, has the science behind it, all natural product, okay, has no side effects that are known at this point in time. To me, it's a wonderful product because even for myself, if I knew I was going to have surgery in 2 weeks, I'd consult with my doctor, say, hey, what do you think about taking this in place of maybe the aspirin or the Effient or something, and back off of it a little bit, you know, and then a day before the surgery or whatever, tooth pulling, whatever the case may be. To me, it's a big deal. I think it's a great thing, but I've never heard of it before. I found it by accident. I found it by going to the company and dealing with their website. I assume chickens might like this. Fruit flow, what's that? And that's how I started out. I looked at it. I said, well, they're not going to like this. They're not going to need this that I know of. But, you don't hear anybody hawking it here. My doctor's never mentioned it to me. But when I go back to him, I'm certainly going to mention it to him. But, so that's the whole point of what I'm trying to point out here. Everything isn't always about somebody trying to keep something that's good from the market. What they're trying to keep bogus stuff, like the medicine shows that used to be back in the Wild West days. You know, they'd sell all the bottles of hooch that he could out of the back of the wagon before anybody figured out that it was crap, and he'd move on to the next town. He already had your money. That's how it used to be.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't until the Roosevelt administration, Teddy Roosevelt, that because of all the hooey that was going on, that's how you got your Food and Drug Administration anyway. Okay, and you know, I wouldn't be the first person to say that I think the Food and Drug is a little bit too big for their boots, but you know, I don't run the show, and it's not my my place to take care of it. But you know, I think they overreach on a lot of things. I just had to go around with them here not too long ago, and. And did I send you a copy of that letter?
What, the FDA stuff that where they are holding your shipment?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sent it to me.
Yeah. Did you understand what they wanted?
No, it wasn't clear at all. It just said I had a lot of words basically saying, "Hey, we're holding this until you know we look at it more." It's pretty dumb.
Then they finally let it go, and even that letter, I've let like five people read it, and they all look at me and go, "Huh? What do they want?" I said, "I don't know. All I know is I got the stuff." And here's a kicker for you, okay? Now, the company that sent me that product sent a sample bottle to me, and nobody ever said a word.
Huh.
After the fiasco with the case full of stuff, they sent me one bottle free of charge just to see what kind of nonsense it was going to cause. Okay, it showed up overnight. Boom. Nothing. Nobody cared about it one way or another. So why did you care about one bottle versus 12 bottles? What was the difference? They just make absolutely no sense whatsoever. None. But this is how they operate. And, you know, they're, to me, in some areas, they're out of control. Other areas, you know, they do a good job. You know, and there's probably people who would argue with that, too. But my whole point of this tail end of this discussion was that if the science is there, it warrants being a product that is out there. And I will tell you again, if there is no real money to be made, this company has a patent on this product, and that's why they're out there, and that's why they spent the time and the money to go through the European Food Safety Administration and the Food and Drug Administration. It costs millions of dollars to do these things. You just don't submit a letter to them and say, hey, we want to use this stuff. You got to show the results. You know, and so we're looking at a lot of different things, okay? We're looking at different types of acids. We're looking at different types of essential oils. We're looking at different types of herbs and things. I'm looking at getting together, and I already have an idea where I'm headed with this, but this will be natural herbs that you can plant in your yard and ward off a lot of problems just because your birds will eat these things and it will be good for them in a natural sense. So we're putting together a whole lot of stuff. It isn't all about selling the products. It's about getting things straightened out and getting people, because there are an awful lot of people who want more of a natural type of a component to their birds rather than a antibiotic component. And I'm all for it. It makes no difference to me. I'll give you whatever you want. But I'm seeing more of it the other way, so it behooves me to look into it and see, you know, what's going to work. So that if I recommend something to somebody, we've been through it on the show, how many times we recommended something to somebody, we gave it away, and how many times have they come back and said that those things work every time. You know,
yep.
And that's the kind of thing that I want. You know, does everything work in every instance? No, you'd be foolish to think so. But my point of the matter is that if you really know how something works and you really know that it'll do the job, then you go with it. Okay? And if it's not going to, if it doesn't do the job, then there is some other issue. You know, when we looked at the birds up there in New England, we found at the end of the day, everybody conformed except one. So there has to be an issue with that particular bird. And taking, I don't remember how many birds were in that trial, but maybe 30 birds or so, and one out of 30 is a bad actor, that's not bad. You know, if the whole adult population would be half pretty decent if we only had one bad actor for every bunch. But at any rate, so the population of the bird's intestine with the proper gut bacteria will lead to an enhanced immune system, will lead to a healthier bird, will lead to less instances of wanting to use an antibiotic and less illness and less mortality if you just pay attention to them right out of the box. It's going to be the most critical time, just like an infant when an infant is born. Okay, if you don't take care of it from the beginning, you're going to have trouble. And it's the same thing with these birds. So that environment of that gut is sterile. So whatever there, if there's loads of bad bacteria in your place, you're going to have trouble. If you've got relatively healthy birds, you're going to have a lot better chance at being successful rearing your young birds than other people are. One of the other things I find with a lot of people is they don't follow directions at all. You know, I give out explicit directions for everything that I sell, and if it's not clear, I always tell people, you know, call me, email me, I'll walk you through it, I'll explain it to you. And time after time after time, when I just say, well, you know, I did this, it's not working. So I say, well, okay, did you do this? Well, you did that, but I didn't do this. Well, why didn't you do the other? One goes, you know, so I wrote it all down on paper for you. So following directions is a huge issue as well. And that's why I put them out there. So I also want to offer again, I do have the artist's rendering of the so to speak swamp cooler for warm temperatures. Nobody took me up on that. I don't know why, but it's a freebie. And you have to make your own list of parts up, but you can just look at it and tell what you need. And that was the one that was made from a box fan and a cooler. So anybody that wants that just has to send me an email. And when they send that email, I'll be glad to send them the artist's rendering of what it's supposed to look like and how it should basically work. I was surprised there weren't any takers on that. So, but it was right in the middle of the hot temperatures and stuff. So, but there is
right.
A relationship. Pardon?
Yeah. Peter, there's a question in the chat room. It's a little off topic, but since we've got you, have you ever heard of a tobacco tea for worms in chickens? Treating tobacco tea?
Yeah, that's an old-time method for doing it. A lot of that came from cockfighters. They did a lot of that type of stuff. You know, I'm not so sure that's so healthy either. I mean, you know, in tobacco, you know, we all know that tobacco basically is cancer-causing to start with, especially when you smoke it. But also, the old Black Leaf 40 was nicotine sulfate. And that's where it comes from tobacco. So, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, that it would work, sure. I mean, the nicotine sulfate, very, very possible, and one of the reasons why it was taken off the market was the fact of the liability of the product. You know, as we got into more modern times, there were better things that came along, but nicotine sulfate, Black Leaf 40, hell, if I had a boatload of that stuff here, I had a truckload, I could sell it, no question, hands down.
Nicotine sulfate, huh?
Yeah, and it was a good product. I mean, you overdo it on the bird, you had a dead bird. And if you put too much on your fingers and you lick your hands, you probably get a heart attack from it, see? So, again, here we go. Natural? Which one do you want? I don't know, you see? And you know, there are many things you can do. I mean, I've been around doing this a long time, and, you know, there are those that believe it or not, that take ground-up glass and feed it to their birds because that's how they worm their birds. There are other people people who use red devil lye. You know,
they use what, Peter?
Red devil lye.
Red devil lye?
Yeah, you can buy it. You should be able to buy it in the store. You used to be able to buy it in the store. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know,
dear.
And you know, given at a small dose, you know, and a diluted dose, you know, it's probably not going to do much harm to the bird's intestine, but you don't know that, you see.
I guess not.
You see, here's the other thing that people don't understand, because there's nobody out there to tell them, you know, but this goes for humans as well. When we talk about gut health, we don't only talk about the fact that we have these digestive enzymes that are now there and present for proper digestion, the lipase, the amylase, and so on and so forth, all of these things. What this all does for the bird and the human or any other animal that has a good gut flora, that has good gut population with the gut flora, is that we end up having a thicker gut wall, a healthier gut wall, okay? Because it's a known fact that a lot of these bacteria, especially E. coli, very easily can permeate the intestinal wall and then become systemic in the bird. They get into the body cavity, cause peritonitis, so on and so forth. So it behooves you to go and get some probiotic, put it in the water. Now, I know people say, well, I give my birds yogurt every day. Not good enough. Not good enough. Okay? You can't get enough probiotic in the yogurt to make any difference. Okay? You just can't. And people will say, well, my birds like it. There isn't any question they're going to like it. It's on the acidic side. We talked about it when we talked about water. They will like things a little bit on the acidic side. Okay? And the gut bacteria can live in that acidic environment. But it is important that we understand how all of this stuff works.
Let me just interrupt you there for a minute,
sure.
and I just want to let people know that, and just to point out that I didn't mention that on the show before you even came on the show today. I had talked about yogurt. I had talked about the fact that there's not, you know, people think, oh, I'm giving my yogurt for the gut, and it's all great, probiotics and all this lactobacteria stuff. And so before you even got on, I had told them about what I figured you were going to say, what I've had Dr. McCray on, who has said in the past, that there's not enough of the good stuff in this store-bought yogurt, but there's plenty of bad stuff, like high fructose corn syrup, artificial flavor, artificial sweetener, artificial fruit, artificial this, artificial that, and all this crap that you're giving them because you think you're doing something good. And again, there's not enough of the good stuff in the yogurt, not to mention the issue where it may cause too much, may cause diarrhea. So just wanted to point out to our listeners, I did not preempt this. All that was said before he even came on the show, and here he is out of the blue telling you this, what I told you earlier, that I've also learned from Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, and Dr. McCray as well. So you can now stop it with the yogurt, folks. But no, I just wanted to point that out, that there's not enough of the good stuff. And I told them, I said, if you're so concerned about it, get the good stuff. You add in the water, get it directly from, again, First State Vet Supply. Then you might be helping the gut out a little bit versus wasting your money and time on this store-bought fruit on the bottom yogurt crap. And then think you're doing something good. So I just wanted to point that out, that wasn't preempted. This is something he just said, just to kind of realize what I told everybody earlier. So
yeah, you know, it's when you the store-bought yogurts and stuff, you know, they home in on the lactobacillus acidophilus. It's a big deal, and it is a big deal. Okay, but that also requires a supporting cast of other lactobacillus and other bacteria. And we did talk about this, but I can go over it again. It's no big deal. The lactobacillus acidophilus is going to do implant itself on the gut wall. When it does that, then it starts producing acid, okay? And it produces digestive enzymes, basically amylase. When it does this, okay, it needs other bacteria to help keep it going. Lactobacillus casei, Bifidobacterium bifidium, Streptococcus faecium, Turrilopsis, Aspergillus oryzae. All of these different ones, they produce different types of digestive enzymes. They complete the and they complement the intestinal wall. We just talked about it a minute ago. You're not going to get all of that in the store-bought yogurt. This stuff costs money. There are millions and millions and millions of dollars that have been put into this kind of research. The research is continuing, especially now that the antibiotics are coming to an end in a lot of countries. They're left mm-hmm. with a lot of birds that have digestive problems, white watery diarrhea, or just a lot of diarrhea problems because of different bacteria that are, again, starting to set up in the gut because there's nothing there to mitigate them. Okay? So, you know, I don't argue with anybody. You all know that. You know, if those people who are using yogurt are happy with it, go on with it. Be happy. I'm happy. If you're happy, I'm happy. I'm not going to sit here and argue with anybody about it. I'm just telling you what the research shows both on the human side and what it shows on the animal side. And this can all contribute to a birth behavior. This can we know that there is research that shows that there is a connection in humans. The gut is called the second brain, and that we know that.
That's right.
We know that the lack of the proper digestive flora in the gut of humans has a link, at least at this point, however weak or strong it may be, to schizophrenia and other mental conditions. But I can understand it. See, I can understand that, having been hypoglycemic, and just the fact of having an episode when I didn't eat properly, okay, and literally losing my eyesight. What do you think I was losing my eyesight for? Because there's nothing going on. I could not drive. I could walk out of a damn room, banging into the walls. Had to have something to eat immediately. I mean, it's crazy, but that's how it works.
That's scary.
And yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I've done it on numerous occasions. And Jamie can tell you, I would start to sweat, start to shake, and then if you go eat something that is healthy for you, hell no. You go and you grab the first Coke that's loaded with sugar and you get it into you because it'll raise, and that's what you do. It's not right. I know that, but I'm saying I don't do that anymore. I haven't done that in over 8 months now. But you know that type of mentality, and I will tell you since of my lifestyle changes, okay, I have not had an episode of that at all. Period. Gone.
Okay.
So,
listen, Peter, we need to take just a short commercial break, and when we come back, there's been quite a discussion in the chat room about how do chickens get lice, and is DE, I don't know, is DE, diatomaceous earth becoming less effective? And so if we could maybe just spend a couple minutes on that before we end the show. So we'll be right back. Please.
You need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com. Or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce. I'll don my super suit.
Snap Lock Chicken Coops. The American-made, maintenance-free, plastic hen house. With its double wall construction and adjustable ventilation, it's the perfect year-round home for your small flock. It will not fade or rot and is unaffected by rain, sun, heat, cold, or chemicals. The removable litter and nesting trays make cleaning a breeze. Every access point is lockable for maximum predator resistance. Snap-lock chicken coops weigh just 40 pounds and snap together in minutes. So spend more time enjoying your flock and less time building and maintaining your coop. For additional information, please visit snaplockchickencoops.com. Also available at mypetchicken.com, critter-cages.com, and chickensforbackyards.com.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is Monday, which means one thing. Our resident expert right here, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. Peter, during the break, I was thinking about something that was probably kind of right up your alley. I was thinking about some of the comments you make about this, that, and the other, and the quackery that's out there on blogs and forums and whatnot. And so I was just thinking about one of the things lately I've seen is that, someone will say, oh, pumpkin seeds prevent worms. Well, how do you know? Well, because I've never had worms in my chickens, and I give them pumpkin seeds. So pumpkin seeds prevent worms in chickens. I guess that would be about equivalent to me, Doc, saying Twinkies prevent cancer because, as of today, I have no cancer. And I ate Twinkies, even though I don't eat Twinkies, don't touch them with a 10-foot pole. But the issue there is that saying pumpkin seed prevents worms or kills worms or gets rid of worms, even though I may have never had a fecal test in my life or I've never actually seen worms before, because I give them some pumpkin seeds that it automatically cures them. Again, is the equivalent of saying Twinkies cure cancer because I don't have it and I eat a Twinkie every day. I had to share with that because I think it's pretty much just the same, just a different topic there. So
it is the same. We run into that all the time, and I feel this way about it. If you think it's doing a job, go with it. Buy all the pumpkin you want, get all the pumpkin seed you want, and go with it. But until I see this do something, and not only that, what kind of worms are we talking about? Technically speaking, the easiest worm to get rid of is roundworm. Okay, the toughest ones to get rid of are not necessarily in this order, but would be your tapeworm, your capillary worm, and your gapeworm. You can get all the damn pumpkin seeds you want, and you ain't getting rid of that, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
You might get rid of some of the roundworms and stuff, but I just don't see it because the others are embedded in the tissue and lining of the gut and so on. So, I even with a good worm, a chemical worm, they're tough to get rid of. So I don't see it,
Trish in the chat room says, last month the big deal over at a particular forum was that cherry pits worm chickens. So, I guess it was last week I had promoted. I said, hey, we're going to do Blogbusters, a little segment on the radio show called Blogbusters, and you can send me emails of things you've seen on blogs. We'll ask our experts, and they'll give you their 2 cents worth. It could be right, it could be wrong, it could be quackery, but the pumpkin seed thing, well, I think we've covered enough of our Blogbusters already today. But Pat had a question, I guess, from the chat room regarding, I guess, we've covered it many, many times, but new listeners, first-time listeners may not have heard of the archive about DE, and was it lice, Pat?
Yeah, it was lice, and the other question was, where do they come from? I mean, why on earth all of a sudden do some of my chickens have lice when they didn't before?
Yeah, it can come from a couple of different places. Free-flying birds, more than likely. The other thing is, if you're showing birds or if you're bringing in birds from somebody else, that's one of the primary sources of getting these things. Because depending on the degree of infestation in the bird, you don't necessarily see them right off the bat. Most of us, and we've talked about this somewhat before, when I'm not saying in this particular instance we're talking about birds that were bought somewhere else and then brought in, but we said this before, if you're going somewhere to buy chickens, and for me, mm-hmm. I would do a drive-by first, and if their place doesn't look pristine and better than where you're taking the bird to, keep rolling. Keep right on going. I don't care if they claim they got the best birds in the world. Keep right on going. And when you get there, even if the place is good and from the outside, and you get there and you see the birds are all, they got 40 birds in a pen that should have 20 in it, and they're up to their eyeballs in mud, or they've got little rowboats swimming around and with little oars trying to stay out of the water and whatever, or there's no feed, no water, or the water's dirty, looks like it hasn't been changed in 3 weeks, just look around and see, you don't have anything I want, beg off and just say that, change my mind, see it. You have no obligation as far as I'm concerned. The problem starts when you bring them home. And, Katie barred the door. Every time I talk to people, say, my neighbor had a chicken. Well, you should have left in your neighbor's yard. This is the number one way things are spread. But
Pretty easy to check for the lice, too, anyway. I mean, just look for that feathery sort of stuff around the vent feathers and the...
We're not in tune with doing that as a populace. We are more enthralled with the fact that we're going to get a silky, we're nuts over goo-goo about them. And I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying this is how it happens. Mm-hmm. I've done it before with things, too. I've gone and bought something and was in a hurry, and I've done it with produce. How many times you picked up a watermelon somewhere and you didn't have the time or take the time to really look it over, and you got home and got a big couch in the bottom of it, and looked like something else was been eating besides you. And, I've done that. So there's no reason why somebody wouldn't go to a place be talking with the owner of the birds that they're about to buy, and all of a sudden it's time to go, and you put them in a carry crate, and you put them in your car, and you go home, and everybody's good. You put them with your birds, and the next morning everybody's sick. Or a couple of days later, everybody's sick. Or a week later, you come out and say, what are these little creepy crawler things? I don't like this. And they have mites or whatever. So, I mean, it's not uncommon at all. It's very common. That's how things get started. Lice are a pain in the neck. Fairly tough to get rid of as well, because the eggs of them are resistant to absorption of insecticides. So from my perspective, if you want to control, if you've got a problem with lice, a very old method of trying to get control is to try to force molt the birds. So drop their feathers, clean them up, because for the most part, especially if you've got the feather louse itself that's attaching itself to the feathers, they're going to be there, rake them all up, spray around a little bit, and you can get rid of them that way. If that isn't going to work for you, I would highly recommend the poultry protector type product, because of the fact that it will eventually eat through those eggs. It will eat through the exoskeleton of these lice and their lice. It might take you a while. But what I like about the poultry protector product is basically all natural. There are no real chemicals in it. It's non-toxic. And you can use it day after day if you have to. And I realize if you've got a job, or if you've got children and a job and you've got birds, going out and giving them all a bath and this stuff every day can be a problem. But by the same token, you're not loading your premise down with an insecticide. You're not doing all of these different things that are going to cause other abnormalities. You can't use most of your chemical sprays day after day. You've got to wait 2, 3, 4 weeks, some cases longer than that, before you can come back with it, because they're going to be, to some degree toxic if you do that. So, and I certainly wouldn't rely on ivermectin to do it either, okay? Not in my opinion, a very good way to get control of something like this. So, and giving birds places to preen themselves, to go and take their dust bath. This is how they're going to get rid of this stuff anyway. And I think you mentioned something about diatomaceous earth. It can work. How well it's going to work on lice, I don't know. The lice eggs themselves being resistant to almost everything. You got to understand, these lice reproduce very quickly. They have a short lifespan. They don't live very long. I don't know the exact time. I don't think they live more than 2 to 4 weeks, somewhere in that range. But during that period of time, they produce hundreds of eggs. So, if you don't get it under control, it can get out of control quickly. So, if I had a problem with it, I would head to the poultry protector, and I would mix it at the strongest concentration that they recommend for a severe infestation of insects, and I would go with that. And again, you can use it every day if you have to. And I have checked with the manufacturer on that. I've talked to Patrick Haley. He's a tremendous individual, very knowledgeable about all the stuff.
We had him on the radio show. I guess it was one day, I think last week or the week before, and you can go back and look at the archives, folks, and we had Patrick Haley on after we had a whole show, I think, about mites and lice. Then after the topic was done, we had Patrick on, and he talked all about poultry protector, exactly how it worked. We told you on the show that you could get it at firststatevetsupply.com and all natural regarding mites and lice. And another thing, treat your coop, nesting boxes, and your birds directly. So, if you missed that show, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. It was great. It had all about mites and lice, and had Patrick on, the owner, founder of the Poultry Protector product.
He's a good guy. And it comes with easy to follow directions on it. You can buy it as a concentrate, so that we carry the 33.9 ounce and the gallon of it here, as well as the 16 ounce already mixed spray. You can use that. What I like about it is, if it doesn't work today, you can use it again tomorrow. You can't do that with your other things. They don't always work either. The chemical sprays, so you put it on the bird today, and you're still not getting where you want to go tomorrow. You can't do it again. So
yeah, he was saying also that the his product is the only one that kills both apparently the egg, the pupa, and the adult, all three of those.
And I wouldn't be surprised by that, because the mode of action of this is to work its way through the cuticle or the outer covering of the insect, and then expose it to the atmosphere, and it dies. And all the bacteria get in quickly. We talked about that a minute ago. When you open up a pristine environment to an environment that's contaminated, all of our environments are contaminated wherever you are, whoever you are, wherever you live, unless you live in a bubble. And so those things set up shop very quickly. That's the approach I would take to it. I wouldn't wait myself for diatomaceous earth. I think it has its place.
I think, Doc, I was going to say, and I may be off here, a lot of this stuff, whether it be pumpkin seed or DE or something like that, again, this is my opinion, you may agree, and you'll let us know, I'm sure, is that some of this stuff, I mean, even the studies aren't there, may be a good preventative, or may have some sort of preventative nature to it, but maybe not so good once you have an infestation or an outbreak, but still might be a preventative. Maybe some of the products that people talk about, like with diatomaceous earth, if you choose based on your research to give it orally to prevent this, then again, might be a preventative. But if you have an outbreak, you probably want to use some of the chemical stuff to save your birds.
Well, I will say to you, we go back and again look at the probiotic we're talking about, keeping that gut pristine in the fashion that it needs for good digestion, good gut health. The predominance of 70% of the birds' immune cells are located throughout the intestine, and if the intestine's in bad shape, so is the immune system going to be in bad shape. The better off that intestine is, the better off that immune system is. The better the immune system, the healthier the bird. It's that simple,
the line. That's exactly right. With people, too.
I intend to try to find out as best I can, what works, what doesn't work. I have a friend of mine who swears by a particular thing that he puts in his water to take care of coccidiosis. I want to try it. I've got an email to my friend Dr. Batista up here to see if he can help us with it. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. He might be able to supply some SPF birds. Those are specific pathogen-free birds that are guaranteed to be free of certain poultry diseases they use in poultry research all the time. And so these kinds of things, all these things take time, it's not going to all happen overnight, but I already have several products in place that I want to use that some of them already have the science done behind them, and that's a home run, because then you don't have to go and try to do it. And I'm not a research facility by any stretch of the imagination, but I also want to be able to be in a position to say, hey, this is what works. This doesn't work. We've not had any success with it. Maybe you will, but we haven't had any success with it. And so those are the kinds of things we really want to take a look at. And if pumpkin seeds work, let's prove it. Let's get some birds that have got some real bad worm infestations and give them some stuff. There's something to be said too for giving something on a regular basis, and that. In giving it on a product, whether it be pumpkin seeds or whatever, on a regular basis, may stop some sort of a intestinal worm infestation. I'm leery of giving these things after the horse is out of the barn. Most of the time, by the time a lot of folks have called me on the phone or sent me an email and whatever, we're already in deep doo-doo, we don't have time to play around with, pumpkin seeds or something else. We have to go to something that will work now to get things under control. You might want to continue on pumpkin seeds or diatomaceous earth. I can tell you for a fact, and I know that the trial that was run a few years ago here in conjunction with Dr. Batista in dealing with diatomaceous earth, it did not work. These were SPF worms there as well. And it just didn't work. It did not work. And I intend to use one of the pictures of that intestine in my book that is coming closer and closer to being done, hopefully. And you will be able to see that intestine is loaded terribly with worms. It's just thick. Disgusting. And it just didn't work. Now, in an area where somebody, again, we go back to what I was saying before, if you don't have a problem and you're using it, you may never have a problem if the problem comes along. But this place had a problem with worms, period. And these birds just didn't survive. They died like flies. And they were on a good dose of the diatomaceous earth. And it just didn't work. So I don't know. At the end of the day, you still have to look at all of these things. You know, there is always that anomaly out there that something worked for somebody and didn't work for the other person. We see it with medications. Pat, you know that yourself, being a pharmacist. You know that certain things may work for somebody and they don't work for the next guy. That's the way it is. So I don't know. As far as the lice are concerned, generally, you either bring it in or it comes in from free-flying birds that are contaminated with it, mixing with your flock, leave them behind, your birds pick it up. But they can be hell to get rid of. There isn't any question about that. I never liked bugs on birds anyway, so I don't know if that answers the person's question or not. But
That'll be fine. All righty. Well, anything you'd like to wrap up with, Doc, before we let you get back to your busy, busy day?
No, just, get out that 5-gallon bucket, sit in that yard, listen to those birds. They'll tell you what's wrong. They always do.
Look at the bird. That's excellent advice, and we appreciate you coming on so much, and we look forward to seeing you next Monday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And I want to remind everybody that visit his site. You know, it's been said in the chat room, if Peter Brown doesn't carry it, you don't need it. And in most all cases, and that is, of course, www.firststatevetsupply.com. That's www.firststatevetsupply.com. Yeah, you can order somewhere else, but when you get your stuff, who are you going to call when it says mixing 800 gallons of water? When it doesn't come with the right dose, when it doesn't come with the right dose for one bird or six birds or your backyard flock, and it says treating 60,000 chickens, this is what you need to do. You're going to contact Peter anyway to figure out the right information. So every order from First State Vet Supply is going to come with that dose for your chickens in your backyard, and the individual dose, and you can't get that anywhere else. And so it's prudent to order from knowledgeable people. Not just somebody that happens to walk over to the chicken aisle from the dog aisle and says, oh, yeah, this is what you need. So firststatevetsupply.com. Pat, great show again today. We appreciate you joining us, as always. And we've got a great – again, we're sure of tomorrow's show. We've got the Society for Preservation of Poultry Antiquities, Christine Heinrich, author of a couple of great books. And she'll be joining us along with someone who's developing and starting up a fancier or a show chicken webpage with information about shows, which is much needed. And then Wednesday will be another segment of our small business spotlight, where we'll spotlight a small business that's in the backyard poultry industry. A lot of people we get great feedback from that. A lot of people have been enjoying that, including the small businesses, helping get their name out to the to their potential customers. So we've got that Wednesday. And again, like I said earlier, Thursday and Friday. Right now it's 50-50. I hope to hear back by the end of business today regarding my trip up there to Tractor Supply. And if it doesn't happen for whatever reason, then we'll have a show Thursday and Friday. But if not, we're here with you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So, Pat, I'll turn it over to you. Take it away, my friend.
Okay, thanks so much, Whisper. Boy, as usual, I always learn so much from Peter Brown, our special guest, the chicken doctor from First State Vet Supply. Thanks to our chat room chicken ears, of course, and all our listeners for listening in and clucking along. Where would we be if it weren't for you? Thank you so, so very much. BlogTalkRadio.com provides our radio, chat, and the video services. And, of course, Andy Schneider is the chicken whisperer, the creator of the show, and the wind beneath our wings that carries us oh so far. I'm Pat Forman, and from all of us, absolutely all of us, may the flock be with you, quote,
bless the chicken evermore. Blessings, everybody.
Thank you.